The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Hold your insulting tongue and mark my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really Iron Man, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O Double G. And I'm joined by the man behind the sound effects, at least for the time being, at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Hello, everybody. How's it going?
Uh-oh, you're underwater.
Figures. Hang on.
Because when we start recording, it's when the technical difficulties begin.
Wouldn't be a show without it. How's that sound?
Better.
Good.
So we're waiting for @agent_70 on Twitter to join us. But in the meantime, go to theclicknation.com where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. We're on our social media accounts. We're on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google+. Subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play. We are a part of the Coast of the Podcast Network. Go to cspn.us. Do it today. You can buy Comic Book Chronicles merchandise from our Redbubble account. Go to redbubble.com/people/CSPN/shop. You know, I just actually thought of something. I should do like a redirect on the website, do theclicknation.com/shop and just like have it linked to that page.
Yeah.
Long description of the Redbubble link. Things to work on for another time.
Pencil that in.
Or without @PCN_dirt on Twitter, as he's having date night with the wife.
Have fun.
Go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. So we're going to start the show tonight with, of course, the comic book reviews of the week. Probably we should start with the eyes on it. Well, I was going to say the one with the most eyes on it this week. And that would be from the much delayed Civil War #2, #5.
Yeah, I was going to say we could wait till Agent 70 come in, but yeah.
Okay. I guess we could. Or
yeah, let's just get out of the way. He can add his take to it.
Add his 2 cents once he joins us. So this issue shows the big throwdown between Captain Marvel's side and Iron Man's side.
Matter of fact, let's go ahead and pair this up with Guardians of the Galaxy 12 because they're pretty much parallel.
Correct. So I guess in that case, we should start with Guardians of the Galaxy since it was a nice prelude to Civil War #2 as Agent 70 is logging in to join us tonight.
Almost there.
We'll give you time. We actually just started, got going, so you're perfect timing. So, in Guardians of the Galaxy #12, I believe it was, the first half of the book shows the Guardians arguing amongst themselves on whether or not they should even get involved in the superhero squabble.
Well, yeah, they did that last issue, but this is pretty much them already agreeing to it and kind of going along, I mean, kind of getting prepared for it, but they're still arguing, you're right.
Yeah, and it was a lot of Rocket Raccoon bad mouthing the planet Earth, which
actually,
was
you know what?
Factually correct.
Exactly, and I was like, well, he's not wrong about the stuff he's saying. And as a matter of fact, the only thing I was thinking during the whole first couple of pages was like message. And I think there might be a slight underlying theme of that within a couple of books this week.
So they waited. So as that discussion is going on, they're waiting for the signal from Captain Marvel to join the fight. They have their ship cloaked, hovering above the Triskelion, where all the heroes are assembling. So they join into the fight. Then flash forward, I think it says like 15 minutes to when their spaceship is blown to bits by the Vision. The callback to the Civil War.
Yeah,
film.
And which, well, not on that, but to, which I guess I'll get to in a little bit when we get past the Civil War 5, but it's also a callback to the first Civil War story, period, in a way. Not directly, but...
Yeah. So this, for those who actually keep up with future solicits, this would explain why the Guardians are stranded on Earth in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that pretty much, oh, and...
Wait, hold on. I thought that was a pretty lame excuse for being stranded. Come on.
It is, but it is a lame excuse, but it makes for a story arc.
Yeah, it is exactly. It is a story. So.
So that pretty much sums up everything that happened in that issue, and it ends
with Gamora trying to find out what people didn't want her to know about. So that's going to come into play next issue.
Yep. So now on to Civil War Civil War 2, number 5.
AKA Civil War Remix.
Yeah. So five. You can really skip over all the heroes beating each other up at the beginning portion of the comic.
Yeah.
The humans are on New Atalan. They, of course, see the news reports of the fight, so they go to join Captain Marvel. And Medusa instructs Ulysses to stay there. Ulysses has actually a different change of clothing now, from the just t-shirt and jeans of the first four issues to the training garb that he has on when he's training with Karnak, which I guess can be seen in the Infinite comic from Al Ewan, Civil War II Ulysses. Like Padme?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So the heroes are fighting. Iron Man hacks into Star-Lord's helmet, and they have a discussion on why the Guardians are siding with Carol Danvers. Ulysses sees all the stuff on the news, and somehow he's sends his vision from New Atalan all the way over to the Triskelion.
Well,
and allows all the heroes to see it.
Yeah, I see, again, one of the issues I've had with this stupid story, but... This has kind of been explained how that happens, because Iron Man knows how his powers work, and supposedly his powers are growing, so this is supposedly an extension of that happening, because he takes in everything he sees in whatever the world, and the visions come based off of that for whatever reason, but still doesn't make some sense in a couple of places. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And yeah, and at the end, just like in the beginning, or just like in the other Civil War, I guess you could say another spider person becomes front and center for some reason.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Ulysses sees another vision, and it's a pretty major one involving two of the heroes there in attendance, and one of them gets arrested because of the vision.
Weirdly enough, it was one that led to one dying.
Say again.
No, I was going to say, weirdly enough, it was similar to a previous vision where someone, was killing everybody.
Yep.
Funny how that works.
So that's Civil War 2, number 5.
Yeah, that's the cliffhanger.
Yeah, everyone will be talking about the cliffhanger.
I'm tired of this event. So when y'all remind me, well, I probably won't because I write this down, but if this is not most important event, unless this happens to switch up speed somehow within the next, three issues? Is it three or four more issues? Because it doesn't even matter. This is probably still going for most disappointing event so far.
And there's even an article on IO9 I saw today going into detail how this event has been underwhelming, which I'd agree with.
Yeah, I think that's an understatement, to be honest. Underwhelming is not a strong enough way to describe this.
Yeah, I have ranted about this a few different times, so I will spare everyone that. But, I agree wholeheartedly.
What did I write about this? I thought this issue was entertaining, but, I'm actually more interested to see how this plays into the story and Cap Steve Rogers. I thought this was entertaining. What's funny is that...
If it does.
Right, I'm looking at my notes, and I'm starting to remember what I was thinking when I wrote this down. But I thought this issue was entertaining. I thought that there's a couple of nice little bits here and there that they kind of wove in that Tim saw fit to kind of gloss over, because the truth is, it's just more heroes fighting each other. A couple of different matchups here and there I thought were entertaining, but otherwise, we get to the cliffhanger and we're like, okay, so this is where we go from here. Like I said, it's interesting to see if there will be. Some ramifications in the Cap Steve Rogers book as a result of the cliffhanger. Oh, I spoiled just a little bit. No big deal, right?
Yeah, and there's that. It's like you interchange these bits with some bits from the original story, then and it gets to be less than exciting.
Yeah,
because and the fact that there are people who are fighting in this one, who in matter of fact in Guardians in the last issue, Guardians Ben was like, yeah, I kind of left the Earth to keep out of this, to get out of that stuff, and here he comes back in it again, and there are people in this fight who have had similar views, but yet here they are. It's just a whole thing.
Yeah, I'm still not happy with how they're characterizing Carol Danvers, and I'm not sure
exactly
she's going to make it out of this character assassination event.
No, she will. Yeah, I think it's just because I think whatever her book is going to be is going to kind of come from out of that, so she'll be fine.
Yeah, Margaret Stahl, the author, is going to be the writer on it, and she'll have her hands full.
Definitely. Mm. All right, so what books have you guys covered so far since I popped that in a little late?
Just those Guardians
two.
And Civil
War. Oh, just those two. Okay. How about who else read, let's stick with Marvel, Amazing Spider-Man number 18?
I read it.
Roddy?
Nope.
So without spoiling too much, this is another they're not calling it Dead No More. They had to rename it Clone Conspiracy. But
oh, okay. I was wondering about that.
Right, so.
Well, I think Dead No More was like the placeholder because they promoting anything with cloned in the name too early.
Yeah.
People don't know what I could have saw them doing both at the same time, though.
I think like on the cover art and stuff, it says like Dead No More, the Clone Conspiracy. Mm. Names are still being used.
Right. Gotcha. So I thought this was actually a great, fun issue because it kind of wove a lot of the Superior Spider-Man dynamic back into the story. Without getting too much into the detail, we have... let me pull up the book because I'm reading off my notes, but the book was just an entertaining read from start to finish, especially if you're familiar with the Superior Spider-Man storyline and how it resolved itself around Spider-Verse. So, Roddy, you didn't read too much of Spider-Verse, right?
I did not. As a matter of fact, I started reading some of it a few months ago, but I still hadn't gotten deep into it.
I still recommend it. I still think it's one of the more entertaining crossovers, or like kind of mini events that Marvel has put out in a while. But basically this issue, we find out, we see what, I'm going to ring the spoiler bell. We see what Otto Octavius's consciousness is trying to do. I can't really say too much more, but you kind of have an idea because you know what the concept of Superior Spider-Man was.
Sure, and I've read a couple of issues of Amazing Spider-Man to know where part of that is.
So. Right. So his consciousness is making a move, and it kind of backfires, but he's also found out a lot about where this Dead No More / Clone Conspiracy storyline is going, and he's going to be probably neck deep in it, and you can kind of see where that's leading, since he is bodiless at this point. So without spoiling too much more, I feel like, I suspect that the Clone Conspiracy storyline is going to help Slott kind of put all the toys back in the toy chest for the next potential Spidey writer.
Forecasting the future.
Yeah, just a little bit, or at least analyzing what we've seen so far,
Oh, no, Agent 77 visions. Oh, God.
Oh, no! Just call me Ulysses. It's an algorithm. But that's how I see this, especially if I don't know what Slott's plans are. I don't know if he's looking to take a break on Spidey. He's been doing this for a while now. It's hard to imagine him wanting to stay on this much more without at least taking a break.
I don't know. It seems like he, by accounts, he seems still to love it, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing Silver Surfer too. So, but that's obviously not selling, nearly as well.
So I'm like the guest artist, R.B. Silva. I think he also did the previous issue that focused on the Prowler. But yeah, it was kind of fun just to get sort of like a chance to go back in time, back to the Superior Spider-Man run, which probably was my favorite run of Slott's career on Amazing Spider-Man, at least as far as the stuff I've read, which I think I started reading around Brand New Day. Mm-hmm. But Superior Spider-Man was just a blast.
Yeah, that's right before that, that's kind of where I came back into reading Spidey and comic period.
Gotcha.
But so my question is, I wonder if he'll end up in a clone body of his own Otto Octavius body, or is he going to end up in like a Peter Parker cloned body?
I feel like he's probably going to be back in too. And I think it may have been already something about that was kind of floating around, but I think he's probably going to be back in his own body.
Yep. Like I said, it seems to me like very much a, you know, a putting the toys back together again, you know, Humpty Dumpty kind of going back together again.
And he is sort of, at least his, he was formerly shaped as a Humpty Dumpty character.
Oh, no.
I mean, that would be a perfect time to go to Ant-Man right about now, but
you know. Hey. You want to jump into Astonishing Ant-Man? That's fine by me.
I mean, if we're
all about doing transitions in this, in, you know, on this show, man, that's a perfect one.
I mean, if we're done with Spidey, sure.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So you have to tell me what the reference is, because I didn't read this issue.
Okay, so we'll ring the spoiler bell.
Sure. I think I got the wrong number. There we go. This is Astonishing Ant-Man number 12. Yeah,
I have 11. 12.
All right, so Scott's still in jail. Scott's still in jail. We are
He's on trial.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we've caught up from the flashbacks to the present, right? Yes.
Right.
Yep. And this is still before Civil War, because She-Hulk is his attorney.
And it looks like, isn't it even like during the like 8 month gap from Secret Wars to all new, all different Marvel?
I suppose. I don't know. There's some weird.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, there's some weird slides with a couple of books, especially this week. But let's see. Yeah, She-Hulk's his attorney. The prosecuting,
Yeah, it's the guest prosecutor, right?
Yes, happens to be an old F buddy of his. I don't know.
That is the truth. That is the truth. Yeah. And it's a surprising reappearance of this character. That's what it is. This character reappears in the story, and I completely forgot that this character had this in her. I'm spoiling a little bit already in her bag of tricks.
Right. Well, it's not surprising for her to be here, but it's definitely surprising for her to be here in this capacity.
Yes.
Because as you said, yeah, you're right. Because you're just like, oh yeah, that was a thing with her, I guess.
Right.
So. Which comes to be an issue for Scott and for She-Hulk,
yeah,
because now she has to, because finally finding out what the deal is in between that, she has to deal with that, and she does. But apparently, this person has a trick of her own, because this person knows a whole lot more about what's going on in the case.
Yeah, well, because this person was actually involved in the case,
exactly,
which is pretty funny. And to see how basically she can't. Well, basically, there's an exchange between Scott Lang and Jennifer Walters, aka She-Hulk, between client and attorney, and basically the client is telling the attorney, I can't reveal all of this bad stuff and try to impeach and try to have this attorney stricken for like a conflict of interest or whatever, because if I spill the beans, I'm going to expose all these other people and my daughter, and it's it's a pretty interesting conflict.
Which pleases Jen none at all, because she has a little deserved rant against Scott during that, which is funny because it's like, yeah, we've seen Jen get mad at before, but not in this capacity. Well, I guess we have in this capacity, but it was just kind of funny to see. But at the same time, it was like, you know what? Hey, anybody who's been around Scott for any of the times ends up feeling that way about him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that tends to be said. But turning to another side of this issue, we see, as I said in my notes, matter of fact, I'll kind of quote it here, because Ant-Man's rogues gallery is small, an old recently appeared foe reappears to help current old foes.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
So
there's a couple of things that pop up in this. One, there is a second storyline that involves Darren Cross, and he's trying his best to help his son, who had initially tried to, resuscitate Darren Cross and was successful, but found himself, down and out, let's say. And
well, he found himself in the crossfire. Who is his uncle, but still.
Yes, exactly. So the character that Roddy Cat is kindly referring to is a mad scientist, evil mad scientist who has, let's say, a shaped head that is that kind of evokes his villain code name, without spoiling too much.
He it's safe to say that he is Ant-Man's oldest foe.
Right.
And probably, if you even know Ant-Man well enough, his and I'm talking about original Ant-Man.
Yeah, we're talking about Hank Pym Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. then you know who is. But he's also come run afoul of Scott as of recent also. So
sure. So, you know, what we find is that, you know, this particular foe has been recruited and, you know, with certain incentives. And, you know, it's really interesting. You know, it's a really interesting story. I love what Spencer's doing with this book. I always rave about this book. Mm-hmm. This is a potential click of the week for me if it weren't for so many other super strong books this week.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. When I say so many others, agreed, that means there's at least like three or four that I might actually choose a click of the week from.
That's about, yeah, there's like two or three here. You know, so, yeah.
So I had a lot of fun reading books this week because I was, you know, I was kind of floored by how much quality there was.
Mm-hmm. So I found myself, this is kind of funny because there was a character that hasn't appeared in didn't appear in this issue, but I found myself saying, "Damn you, Smith," because there was a conversation in between Cross and, even though we don't know if he had anything to do with it, but Cross and this other foe,
mm-hmm,
about some information that was given that was leading them to, okay, hold on. So back up. So when we get to their part about this, and I agree with Age of 70 because I do love what Spencer's doing. He always tends to throw some nice stuff in here. So the villains end up going to this S.H.I.E.L.D. warehouse, whatever, that has, mm-hmm, all this stuff in it. And apparently, as we've seen, S.H.I.E.L.D. places are pretty easy to get into. And apparently they have a whole bunch of stuff that, they're basically hoarders for heroes and villain stuff.
Sure.
Because you kind of see a layout of the land,
right?
And you see a certain buggy that a certain other insect person had at one point in time, and you know.
And you see a bathtub that flies.
Yes.
And you vessel for the Odin Force. Mm-hmm. We'll put it that way.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm like, wait, and this is what they steal? This is what they're after?
Exactly. All and that was my point. Exactly, and that was my point. They go here and they go through and they get this one little thing, like all this other stuff.
That's pretty funny.
Hell, I would have at least taken the Mad Thinker's android. Shit,
that is funny. That is funny. Well, you know, they don't have an Odin Force to operate the Uru vessel. You know, without me completely spoiling what it is, but all you Marvel heads will understand what I'm referring to.
They could have took one of the two vehicles that was parked conveniently right there and
brought
some of that stuff out.
Yeah, I agree.
It was like the damn warehouse from the end of, well, I used to, it wasn't that bad, I shouldn't say that. It wasn't laid out that specific, but.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, Roddy, before we moved on, because I think we covered most of the bases here. There is, you mentioned the movie villain, I think, reappears in this with a very movie villain-esque costume. So we'll leave it at that. Because if anyone here has not yet watched the Ant-Man Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, go out and watch it now because it's a good time.
Yeah. Right? I was about to say, yeah, I saw that and I was like, well, that was blatant. But hey, yeah, sure, why not?
That's fine by me because it's about time, to be perfectly honest. You know, that movie
for
such a long time.
Exactly. I'm kind of, the restraint that it took them this long to put that in there.
Right. So I wanted to ask you about the bug that you're referring to, that reference, the little red bug. Where is that from? We're not spoiling anything with this, right?
You know what? I meant to go back myself, but if I'm not mistaken, this actually goes back to I'm probably totally wrong about this, but I believe this goes back to like the very beginning of Ant-Man, like Hank Pym Ant-Man.
Okay.
May have possibly been his first villain. Okay. If not that one, then it was the one that he fought with Janet.
Okay.
When she got her powers, I can't remember, but I want
to do a little bit of research.
Yeah, like I said, I meant to go back and actually do it, but I believe that is from that era.
Gotcha. Well,
which is weird if that is the case. I was like, wait, the bug's been in there that long?
Hey, man.
Unsupervised, well, not unsupervised, but
shrunken, you know?
Shrunken, not eating, and in a glass jar.
I don't know. But at the end of the day, this is, again, a very fun issue. Quality stuff, potential click of the week for me, if it were not for something else that was super duper strong this week.
Huh, super duper. See, there's another transition.
There were some good comics this week, so it could be a number of books.
Absolutely.
So,
what else you guys got? And where's Dirt?
Dirt is having dinner or...
Oh, that's right. I remember. That's right. I saw the note. Shout out to Dirt. He's got, you know, stuff going on, same as the rest of us, you know?
Family man.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I guess, if we want to go back to Civil War stuff, we could do that, or we could just...
Yeah, let's not Civil War stuff out, since we're not crazy about the event anyway.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, what else you guys read from the event?
Well, it's Power Man and Iron Fist number 8.
Oh, that's what I was going to put in. All right. I read that on my way home, so we can talk about that.
So this is, again, this is a tie-in issue. Danny's still in jail. He's kind of handling some stuff. Danny's still in jail, even though he doesn't need to be, and Luke and Danny have that conversation, you know? But
it's a very out any time, right?
Yeah, it's a very real conversation, too. You know, yeah. It touches on not just his status as a superhero, but his own personal status.
Exactly. But, and they hash that out, and Danny gives his reason, and he kind of looks to Luke to kind of get a plan to get him out of there. Luke's trying to figure things out, but he has no idea. Like, he's pretty much lost, and you could tell it through the whole way the book. He even goes out and says that because he talks to, you know, one of the people that is with him about it and talked like a little bit because he's not sure how to handle it because of what he wants to do. He knows it's not the right thing to do, but that's kind of calling him further.
Yeah.
So still trying to figure out, and still have that one other thing that they're looking into on that side, and Danny's looking into things on the other side because a bunch of people who are wrongfully imprisoned are in there, and because of the thing that Luke's looking into.
Right. Well, there's a couple of things that I found very interesting about this issue. One, that Luke Cage is seeking outside help, outside counsel, because his normal other half, not counting Jessica Jones, is locked up. So he's been separated from his, so-called partner in crime. So he's actually actively seeking out counsel from other heroes, other super types, to try to figure out what to do. And I thought that was a cool nod to just, you know what, you can't fix everything just by barging in and yelling Sweet Christmas and knocking down walls, you know?
So, and I thought it was a pretty good, because I was thinking in the going across, which I love Dave Walker's writing. And by the way, I will point out on side note that if you kind of like the way Power Man and Iron Fist is being written, you should really check out his old Shaft books, because those are good. And there's a slightly similar tone in especially dealing with a couple of the characters. I'm not saying it's written the same way, but I'm just saying there's a tone that's kind of in there, but he writes that quite well. That being said, I was kind of curious about the justification of something, but it makes sense because Luke's kind of having this mini crisis because he knows what he wants to do and he can't do that. And he realizes the reason why he's taking his outside counsel is because, one, Danny's in jail, and two, he's too close to the situation, which is like, you know what? Yeah, he totally is. That makes a whole lot of sense because, Luke's led the Avengers. Like, he's been in charge of stuff to do. He's figured out what, he's had plans of action before, but because he's so close to this one, it kind of excuses his thoughts. So I'm just like, well, yeah, that's totally reasonable. Because outside of that, because any other time he would have been like, he probably would have been a more reasonable out of Danny and Ikki and Danny in the first place, So it's like he's kind of found himself backed up into a corner, actually, kind of almost literally, because he goes to find counsel in the strangest of places because I didn't read Thunderbolts because Songbird shows up and this other person shows up and he's talking to them and then Carol comes in with her crew, which brings up another question. When is this?
Right. When does this happen? It's all very interesting to try to figure out.
That's the question with all the Civil War tie-ins.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not just that one, but yeah, you're right. Because it's like, because Red Civil War 5, Civil War 2-5, he is there fighting, And
yeah,
fighting fighting definitely the people that a couple of people that are with Carol and people that are with Carol, with this fight, which I said in another book, like, yeah, we're seeing a posse of people a lot of times this week.
Yep. Yeah, they're making the rounds.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and also what I was curious about, because as of Black Panther number 6, we see Luke working with one of the people that ends up showing up in the book that's working with Carol.
What side is he on in Civil War number 5? I forget.
I believe he's on Tony's. Yeah.
He's on Tony's side.
Yeah.
But then he's on Carol's side.
Right, because he ends up fighting Blue Marvel, who's on Carol's side, which actually was a funny part of that. Yeah, it's weird. But like I said, somebody else is in this book that we see in a panel. Well, that we see in the panel and kind of talks to kind of reasons with Luke for that panel or two, ends up being in the crew that Black Panther works with, which again, Black Panther is on, whose side is Black Panther on? Yeah, he's on Carol's side. So,
yeah.
And Luke is working with him and he's going to be working with him in the next book. So I'm like, again, when is this happening?
Questions that need answers.
Yeah. I don't think too many people's worried about him.
Not really.
All right. Let's see what else we have. Civil War II. I mean, I didn't read any of the other crossover books, like the limited series.
There was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 9 for me, and but that could have very well been a quick one.
I love the cover, though.
Yeah, that was all right. That was all right. But I'll go ahead and say it here right now. So, yeah. Phil's on the run. For some strange reason, Elektra is the agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. now and ahead of the group, and they're going after Coulson. And apparently there's another Vision where there's a train that's involving an X-Man who's going to blow it, or an X-Man of probably second or third tier note that is going to bomb this train or something, which ends up not being what the case it is. And Daisy's there, and Ward's an agent again because he was, locked up, and now he's been let out and working for Elektra. And
I forgot Ward was in this.
I was about to say, yeah. Was Ghost Rider there? Oh, wait.
Yeah, wait for his new series to start first.
We'll get to that.
I'm sure they'll throw him in here anyway. By the way, the most recent Ghost Rider is on sale on Comixology, I think, still. There was not really much else to say, but there's a confrontation on the train and some things happen, but this is a tie-in to Civil War, but it's not nothing that's really, really pressing.
Gotcha. Any more tie-ins that we got to talk about?
I don't think so. Doesn't sound like it, at least.
Yeah, I'll say we could pop over to some.
There's a non-tie-in tie-in, but
The non-tie-in tie-in.
Yeah, we can get to that. Let's go to something else.
Let's go to some DC.
All right, yeah. You guys have fun with that because I just read Batman.
We can start with Batman.
All right. So
yeah, go for it.
My notes just say it's Batman in Pacific Rim, sort of. Oh, no. That's sort of how this issue plays out because, everything has gone to hell in a handbasket in Gotham. There's a hurricane coming and there's rain driving, there's a driving rain. And all I could think of was, wow, this looks like Del Toro's setup in Pacific Rim. And now there's like pseudo kaiju running around in Gotham, except the first one doesn't really look like a traditional kaiju. It looks like an overgrown Cupid doll, So, that's where the mystery starts there. Like, where does this overgrown Cupid doll come from / kaiju? And, always bear in mind what the title of the story is, which is Here Comes the Monster Men. So, the villain up to this point that's been revealed to us is, spoiler alert, Hugo Strange, but we're trying to figure out how he's producing kaiju. So we'll see how that goes, but it's interesting to see, kind of Batman up against that foe that really he's not physically able to confront on his own, and he has to come up with other ways to deal with kaiju. It really is like Spider-Man versus the Juggernaut. It's Batman versus Godzilla and friends, so...
Well,
so it picks up threads.
The last season of the Gotham to find out that.
Oh!
Picks up threads from the most recent arc of Batman that ended, along with the Comics 940 that came out last week, where Batman and his allies believe Red Robin to be dead. As Agent 70 already went over, it's a hurricane coming into town, and Hugo Strange's monster men are popping up. They have to work together to take them down. Has some great art from Riley Rossmo.
Mm-hmm.
And so Steve Orlando is the, I guess you can call it, showrunner for this crossover.
Okay.
He probably came up with the overall plot, but he's co-writing or co-scripting with each comics writer. So here he's working with Tom King. And in Nightwing number 5, he's co-writing with Tim Seeley. So that was... Batman number 7 was part 1, Nightwing number 5 is part 2. Mm. And hey, wait, basically the same thing happens in both. Yes?
No, sorry. I was about to say the whole mech thing. There's an animated Batman film about to come out that is kind of similar to this, isn't it?
Well, fighting kaiju?
No, well, something about
mechs
the...
Mechs versus Mutants, that's what it's called. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm not going to watch it, but yeah, there is something out.
Actually, wait, I think it's already out. And as a matter of fact, because Mr. Freeze turns Killer Croc and Bane into supersized monsters and they best their way through downtown Gotham. So, kinda.
Okay.
Kinda.
The Green Arrow's in that as well.
Oh, yeah, I did see a panel from
Guest Star.
Yeah.
But, so far, Monster Men has been fine. It's the Batman and Nightwing and Batwoman fighting the big monsters as they try to get to the bottom of investigating everything. And there's ties back to Batman number one as far as once Nightwing and Batman start doing some research and find out Hugo Strange is the one behind everything.
Right. Okay.
Oh, and I can finish my DC with Trinity number one.
This was good.
Yes, it was. Very, very beautifully drawn and art and writing from Francis Manapul. Mm-hmm. Does the colors as well, which I love how he does his colors.
Okay, yeah.
There was like three different splash pages, two-page splash pages, sort of introducing each member of the Trinity with some like some creative symbols made out of panels on the page. So like Batman shows up, there's like the panels sort of form the bat signal. Wonder Woman holding a big boar on her back has like her Wonder Woman insignia in the background in the panels. Same with Superman. And it has to do with Lois Lane inviting. Then of course, remember, this is the Lois Lane, Clark Kent, and John Kent from the pre-New 52 universe. Lois Lane invites Batman and Wonder Woman over for dinner so they can get to know one another, because while they've all been friendly with their universe's counterparts together now, so it makes for some fun moments, and they have some nice girl talk amongst themselves, and Wonder Woman assures Lois that even though she had a relationship with the New 52 Superman, those same feelings don't carry over to her Superman. Superman and Batman sort of talking things out, trying to become more comfortable with one another.
Yeah, I think we kind of get back to seeing them starting to get back to the way they were with each other in all of that. Because, yeah, it's like, yeah, you got the Lois and Diana thing, but then you've got like Bruce and Clark and them talking about, but you can also see, even though Bruce kind of had some reservations about one coming over there because he didn't trust this Superman, you know, you could still see that, like, well, he's kind of putting forth the effort and still kind of getting back to, even though this Clark is not the Clark that he knows, you can start to see him slowly kind of get back to where it's like, okay, this is kind of still their brothership or whatever, starting to come back together. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, there was not a whole lot of action in it, but what did kind of happen in this book with the talks and the Rainbow Batman and all that kind of goes, you know, the whole thing was actually pretty cool.
Yep, someone's TV on?
Yeah, just something popped up on an ad.
Oh, okay.
You gotta love it.
So, but yeah, I may actually keep reading this because this was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with it. So that only leaves me with one other book. So
total? Yep. Wow. Go for it.
Yeah, I was talking before the show. I thought I read more than I obviously actually did.
Okay, is it still DC or?
No.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, let me
go
ahead.
Let me go ahead and... Yeah, go ahead and do some of y'all's if y'all have some.
All right. I still got like two more DC. Well, you mean tell me I read the most? Good Lord.
Yeah, with Dirt not here, you probably read the most DC.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And that's not only, but a couple more. So Cyborg number... Well, let's get to... Yeah, Cyborg number one.
I'm curious about Cyborg, because I still haven't read the Rebirth issue for this yet, so... Mm-hmm. I'm on the fence on whether or not I want to dive into it or not.
So I will say that this issue kind of touches back, as a lot of number ones have kind of been doing, kind of touches back on the Rebirth issue, kind of brings back up some stuff that got brought out from the Rebirth issue. But then we kind of go into, you know, the revelations that came out of that book, Cyborg is still trying to deal with. And, you know, this doesn't go unnoticed by Sarah, his lady, the lady friend that's with him. And she tries to kind of snap him out of his thinking, even though she has no idea what he knows or what's going on with him. But most of the issue is centered around them kind of going out and being human or trying to be human, because his whole thing was like, well, you know, am I actually still human or am I just, you know, basically an imitation life, as the issue's name was called. But they end up going, you know, to an ice cream parlor. So Cyborg's got on a hoodie and glasses, you know, in the hopes that he wasn't going to get recognized, and that doesn't work out because, you know, he's a black man in a hoodie in Detroit. That's because, you know, that's not just, you know, with his glasses, that part was what it was. But then he goes to the ice cream parlor and some kids recognize him, you know, when he was trying to keep a low profile. And I was, and I thought to myself, I was like, well, glasses apparently don't work for everybody also, but that's like, also he was inside with a hoodie. So that's kind of draws attention to himself. Then he gets a, you know, they gets a picture taken with these two kids. And one of them kind of say something that wasn't cool. And Knight goes, then he goes back into his funk. Then Sarah kind of takes him to this jazz club, and some, a message comes out during the course of their visit there. And, you know, kind of helps snap Cyborg out of his funk, but then they get attacked, and that's where the story ends. So okay. It was a pretty good read. I'm probably going to keep up with this to see what goes on.
Okay. Any more DC?
Raven number one is my last one.
I flipped through Raven. I will say that. I didn't read it. I just kind of want to see what it looked like. Great art.
Yeah, I agree with you. And yeah, I mean, you could probably get just as much out of flipping through it as in actually reading it. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's just that. So after the events of, what, Teen Titans 24, which she alludes to this anyway, she ends up moving with her family in, well, with another side of her family, her mom's side of the family in San Francisco. So she's there. She's trying to get in just as them. She's entered high school. We kind of seen this last week with Supergirl. Or was it last week before that? It doesn't really matter. She tries to fit in. Well, she doesn't necessarily try to fit in, but she just kind of like adjust the thing. She meets some friends. There's this other girl that keeps popping up that is doing, that apparently has some powers and maybe or may not be stalking, not stalking, but kind of watching Raven, or something's going on with that fake. But there's a confrontation between those two, and this person seems to be a little bit more than what they are. And Raven's also having these dreams that haven't quite come clean yet, but there's some things that's going on with that. And apparently this is a miniseries, so I guess this is going to go over that, because she's thinking that it was Trigon or her brothers from that side, but apparently it's not new, even though they show up and there are something's going on with that side. But this other person that has shown up and through this mystical ball, whatever, in this warehouse is probably outside of that. So that's pretty much it. Like, the art is great. It was a pretty decent read, but I don't know what actually expect out of this book or series, miniseries rather.
She, Raven, probably because it goes back to my dislike of magic, has always been a character that I've just had no interest in.
Mm, okay. But
I'll flip through it and see what I think.
Yeah, see, and I was looking at this from the angle. I was like, well, she was a Teen Titans, and I'm curious about, you know, what.
I like in the solicit. I think the solicit for it, at least it mentions how it spins out of the recently ended Teen Titans volume, yeah, or new Teen Titans.
Right, because like I said earlier, yeah, it's at pretty much near the end of that book. She pretty much says, "Well, hey, I got this going on. I mean, I'm going to be doing this." So poof.
And that the end of that new Teen Titans volume spins out of the Detective Comics number 940. So
right,
it's all connected,
and also goes into, I guess, the next iteration of Teen Titans that's coming up, I guess.
Does she yell out Azarath, actually, Metreon, Xynthos in this ever at all?
Now that I think about it, you know what? Because she does a couple of spells, and I don't think she actually says that. And if she does, I don't remember, because like I do remember, because
there's a whole generation of readers now that know that as Raven.
Right.
So,
and I thought about that. I was like, well, you know what? The stuff she did. I don't remember her saying that, but I do remember her saying that, but that might have been in Teen Titans.
Teen Titans Rebirth number one comes out next week.
Okay. So we will see how all that plays out.
Yep.
All righty.
But that's it for me in DC.
All right. Enough DC. sorry, Dirk. All right. Let's hit on a couple of Marvel books. Mighty Thor number 11.
Yes.
This is some good stuff. A nice wrap up to this little story arc. What did you?
It's always one of my top books every week it comes out, or every month it comes out. Russell Dauterman's art, along with the colors from Matt Wilson,
mm-hmm.
and of course the writing from Jason Aaron.
Yeah.
So it's just funny watching. I love how he writes the villains, Civil Samurai and Exterminatrix and Dario Agger.
Right.
Especially when they're like going back and forth at each other. Agger just comes across, especially when Dauterman draws him with his like eyes glowing, or like feels like fire is coming out of his eyes with the hatred he has for the Silver Samurai and Exterminatrix. And then I kept trying to guess who was Jane Foster in this, and then the end when it the reveal, the end of the issue. I was like, whoa, yeah. Okay, that's different.
That definitely took a lot of people by surprise. It definitely took me by surprise. I also wanted to add that I actually, believe it or not, I found the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents who were kind of bumbling and stumbling their way through actually figuring things out. You know, I like that, you know, Aaron used them for laughs, and it was just a great, I thought it was a great little, plot device to move things along that kept things very light.
And so we found out how Jane Foster and Thor were in the same place at the same time.
Yes.
And even after that, because we won't spoil that, because that's kind of a neat thing, but Thor/Jane Foster also reveals her secret identity to Agent Solomon.
Right.
And the reasoning for that made sense because she being Jane Foster explains how when she was involved with Donna Blake and he hid that he was Thor to her, and then when she found out she felt like a fool, mm-hmm. and she didn't want Roz to go through that same feeling since she's been such a trusted ally to
her. I would say her and the Odinson. So yes. There's a couple of cool little bits in this. One is that the Agar, the Roxxon floating city or whatever, because the Exterminatrix is related to Midas or whatever. One plot device from the last issue was a golden bullet that was slowly killing Thor, and you know the bullet doesn't kill Thor, but it actually ends up turning the island into gold. And there's a great, great page. It's so awesome. Where the island is about to fall onto the Empire State Building, and there's a little bit of damage to the antenna at the top of the Empire State Building that was so well drawn by Russell Dauterman. Give him all the props. When you flip to that page and you look at it, you can't help but smile when you see that.
Very Superman-esque image of Thor lifting this city up into the air.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm trying to think. There's a lot of great touches. We lead right into what I think is going to be an interesting story to read. I'm very much looking forward to this. You know, my notes put it this way. It was a fun issue, a great way to wrap up in this past story arc. And Aaron's going to be exploring the never before told or conceived history of Mjolnir next issue.
Mjolnir.
Where's Kat Dennings when you need her, right?
Right. I guess we're rapid
potential.
Review, right?
I was about to say, this is a potential click of the week. I don't want to quite jump to rapid review just yet because there is one book I want to talk a little bit in depth on, but not too much, because this is going to be my candidate for click of the week. Anyone else read Vision number 11?
Yep.
Holy cow! Holy cow! Holy,
I've not read it yet.
Cow, I don't want to spoil it. That's why I said I'll go a little bit in depth because I saw it wasn't on your list.
No surprise. It's pretty damn good.
Awesome. It is so well done. You can't help but just hang on every page, every panel, every word because you're waiting to see how it develops. Tom King has done such a masterful job with this book. And you know, we can't give enough credit to Gabriel Hernandez-Walta, who is composing some of the best pages in comics right now based off of these scripts.
And Jody Perlier with the colors.
Yes.
Making them pop.
Yes, that's absolutely, absolutely. And believe it or not, there's an Omega Unknown reference in here.
Yeah,
I'm not spoiling a damn thing by saying that.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, that was...
There's been a couple of pulls in the series, general, so...
Yeah, it is so good, Tim. You will not, you will not...
not oversell it, but...
Exactly. You will not, think that we're overhyping it. I'm very surprised that this wasn't the first thing you opened up.
It should have been. That and Ant-Man, I always regret not reading first. So it's probably the same again this week. I'm actually two issues behind on Ant-Man, so... Catching up needs to be done.
Yeah, catch up. But seriously.
And it needs to be said that this is the penultimate issue because next issue is the last one. And boy, I am looking forward to see how that plays out.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, it's so good. So good. This is one of those books where even though I own every single issue, because of the way it reads as a collected, as a whole, I think I will pick up the trade just so that I can sit down with this, even though I have it in various formats. just to sit down with it and, you know, and have it in hand and have it maybe even to hand off to people and say, hey, read this.
Yeah. So I said this earlier on Twitter, and maybe you guys agree or maybe not, but this could very well be this year's Thor's.
Yeah.
When you put the note on there, I thought you meant like Thor, like one of the other volumes of Thor, but you meant the Thor's plural.
No, yeah, because we weren't really thinking going into it. We didn't think that much of it, and it turned out it was probably one of the best, better books that we've all definitely
read,
enjoyed all together. You know,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It took us all by surprise to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, so that's that. I guess we'll do rapid review real quick. The only books that I still excuse me, I couldn't get to the mute button in time. The only other book that I have on my list actually is International Iron Man. And I think this is the last issue of the series because, at least what it says here at the end of the book is that it's going to be continued in Invincible Iron Man number 1. So I think it may very well be the last issue of the series. I don't remember what the solicits say. But we find
that's
out...
number 7?
Yeah. Yeah. But just very quickly, we find out the real quote-unquote story behind who Tony Stark's parents really are and the reason he was ultimately adopted by Howard and Maria Stark. So that's all that needs to really be said about this issue.
Hmm.
So that's that. That's my one last book for rapid review.
Okay. Well, I got a couple unless you want to, you got something to throw out, Tim?
Nope. I'm done. Mighty Thor was the last book I had.
Okay. Well then real quick, I got two. So, Vault Loki number 4 is the end of this book. It is more of what that book has been, pretty much a big political farce. And we see, apparently, Loki ends up doing some good, whether it's intentionally or not, because his campaign is to get up to be in such a fervor that pretty much and probably, intentionally mirrors the real life one. Especially with a certain high-profile candidate of notelessness, I guess, worthlessness, depending on what side you think about it, and his supporters. But we get to a point to where all of that gets resolved. Loki kind of goes back to being Loki. Nissa, I guess, after her crusade, ends up not necessarily being in a better place, but getting something out of it, let's say. You know, because her whole crusade has kind of been like she's been the one against Loki in his campaign the whole time, and nobody's been listening, even though she's thrown everything she could to try to, you know, make him out to be the fraud that he actually was. And that's partially due to because, you know, they have a history, not necessarily history, but, you know, there's something, an event that happened to her that kind of shapes this, that ends up coming back into play after that. And apparently Loki, he says he did all of this, potentially to help quit with that situation, and we come to find out that the events of the beginning of this series that he did have something to do with, even though it was initially said that wasn't, but it is what it is. So, but it gets wrapped up nice and neat and kind of goes off. And at the end of it, as a matter of fact, there's a page, and I don't know if it's because I'm not reading it, but the last page, well, after the last page, it basically says, hey, if you want to see more Loki, go to Mighty Thor 11, 12, and 13 are basically the same. So I'm not sure what this part in those books are, but I guess that is totally where you're going to see him again. Last book is, well, not that's the last book, but that's what I actually want to talk about because there's one I kind of halfway read was Kingsway's West number 2. We get a little bit more into Kingsway's past. We get a little bit more on the properties of red gold and, you know, everybody's seeking it out. The girl that Kingsway is with while he's looking for his wife gets them into a little more trouble, and he gets hurt in the process, and that's where the book ends out. It's still a pretty interesting book. There are some things about it that hasn't come out about it, but apparently we'll find out next issue a little bit more about the red gold and definitely why people's out of it, but you can start to see why certain groups are after it and, you know, the little turf war about this one place that we have yet to see to come about. So that's cool. But the last book I'm just going to bring up because I hadn't necessarily read it because I need to go back and read some of this other stuff, but I wanted to bring it up because of this cover, and that's Revolution number 1, which is IDW's mashup of various properties. And this is one of the covers. This is not the main cover, but this is like the second cover.
It's Revolution, right? Not Revelation.
No, I said Revolution, I thought.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, you said Revelation. I'm like, oh, two different things here, Roddy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. If I did say that, I apologize. Yeah. But yeah, as you can see, this cover is reminiscent of the official Marvel handbook. And this is also this other cover, which I thought was cool. I don't know why I ended up buying it, but I bought it also. It was this action figure cover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, everyone's got the action figure covers.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're a big thing now. So, but as far as the story, there's some things happen to it, but I kind of just gloss over it. So I don't just, it's, I need to go back and I'm missing some stuff from other books, apparently, because it just kind of throws you into some action here and there. But we'll see how that plays out, because that just started this month. And that's it for me.
Yeah, well, just very quickly, I picked up some of the ROM issues from Revolution that came out this week. There's a Revolution ROM one-shot that the proprietor of Carmine Street Comics thought it'd be a practical joke on me to get me the Rob Liefeld cover. You know, like, I'm like, oh, thanks, the Liefeld cover. I pulled the one of the other subscriber covers here, one of the other variant covers for ROM number 3. So I just wanted to point that out before we went into clicks of the week this week. So I think I've already mentioned what my click of the week this week. It is no surprise. It is Vision number 11.
With that reaction you gave for it, it better be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the closest ones would probably be for this week for me would be either Vision or Trinity.
Wow, Trinity's that strong.
Trinity's on my list.
Wow,
I think so. Like because it was those two and probably Iron Man and Iron Fist, but yeah, definitely those two are kind of ahead of the pack. And I think I'm actually going to go with you with Vision on this one.
Yay! Woo-hoo. All right,
hey, that book is continuously strong, and I did enjoy Trinity, but you know.
And I'm going to go with Mighty Thor number 11.
Nice. Nice moves. All right, cool. And hopefully,
if Dirt was here, you know, I don't have a joke one this time.
Oh, I know
he would probably go with Vision.
No, I know which book he'd go with.
Oh, really? Okay.
Super Fuckers number 2. At some point when I have free time, I'm going to go and post some panels from that comic online for people to see, because I was glancing at it earlier this week. I was like, this is kind of hilarious.
Wow.
Like childhood art style and set with cuss words and stuff.
Wow.
Intriguing.
Yeah, I saw that book. I totally forgot about that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, you got it. So let us pick one. We'll pick an old school, oldie but goodie. Keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit cspn.us, then click the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, or apparel. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends the CSPN a payment. That's right, a payment. That helps us keep the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles podcast free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon.com through CSPN.us. Do it today.
All right. In the cinematic news of the week, Supergirl as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Dishon Lockman as Roulette.
Dying.
Spider-Man Homecoming photo teases a familiar Avengers location, which I'm assuming is the tower.
Other one.
The compound location.
Oh, the Project Pegasus building? Isn't it?
Triskelion. No, it's dead.
Oh, okay.
No. It's the compound.
Okay.
The new Avengers compound.
I got you.
Right. Or I guess you could say the Avengers Initiative compound if you want to go that route, because that's kind of what it looked like anyway.
Okay.
Spidey saves mysterious redhead in new Spider-Man Homecoming set photos.
Because clearly MJ is the only redhead in New York.
Yeah.
New Luke Cage posters spotlight Misty Knight and Claire Temple.
Nice.
Those posters are great.
It's cool stuff.
Next week.
It is next week.
Oh my God.
Yes.
You're right. It is next week. That is Friday. Fast.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing I'm unemployed.
Oh, no.
I'd laugh to keep myself from crying.
Oh.
Yeah, about it. Yeah. Yeah, if you're on Twitter and you follow a certain amount of people, you may want to be wary, because I know there's going to be some live tweets happening next week.
Yeah. Starting next week
for that. I'll mute hashtags.
Yeah.
That's what I've done in the past. Let's see, more Marvel Netflix news. New Iron Fist at Picks provide a first look at Game of Thrones' Jessica Henwick as Colleen Wing.
That's good.
Yes.
That is good stuff.
Give us a Daughters of the Dragon show.
Correlation between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Doctor Strange revealed.
Say what?
There's a correlation between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Doctor Strange.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think I wrote about this. Talking and this basically is not such a surprise. You know, every season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has had some tie to whatever movie's out at the time, and this one's probably not, and this one's not that much different.
Right, right. And obviously there is a bit of a supernatural twist, a bend to this episode, this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., given what the freaking subtitle of the series is now.
Right, hence the correlation between that and Doctor Strange.
Right. So should we talk about this now? Did y'all watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the season premiere?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
Time to talk about it. But, you know, as we move through this part of the news. So I missed maybe the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the show, but, which I think is like the very first appearance of the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider. But I was fortunate enough to be able to catch up on Netflix the last two episodes of last season's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to kind of refresh my recollection. I don't remember watching them too closely, so I got up to speed on what the situation is with S.H.I.E.L.D. at the moment, and we jump right into it. We absolutely
speaking of jumps, because it kind of does jump, because realistically, like, yeah, you watch that, and it'll kind of give you some idea, but even now, there's still some things we don't know about, because, you know, all you know is even from then, it kind of jumps from here to here, and then you just keeps on going, and I'm guessing during the course of the season and probably the next episode, we're going to get a little bit more about some of that jump.
Right.
Chadwick Boseman had a role in selecting Black Panther co-stars. So in an interview with comicbook.com's Jim Viscardi, Chadwick Boseman talked about how he knew who Marvel was selecting for co-stars in Black Panther.
And couldn't say much. Hush.
So yeah, it wasn't a surprise to him when the stars were brought out at San Diego Comic-Con over the summer. Disney Chief says they are beginning to talk about next decade of Marvel films.
Hey, guess what? There's going to be a lot of Marvel and Star Wars movies in the next decade.
Yeah. He basically said the same thing about Star Wars and Marvel movies. Star Wars, they have mapped out to 2021, and he didn't give a date range for the Marvel films, but just said that they've had discussions for the next decade, I think, worth or so of Marvel films.
Yep.
Elena Anyana confirms she is playing a villain in Wonder Woman.
We don't know who, but she was in the trailer for Wonder Woman, so I don't know.
Rob Liefeld releases Youngblood movie script online.
Speaking of Liefeld. Yep.
Oh. We're pretty
DC fans start a petition for Shia LaBeouf to play Red Hood in the DCEU.
Wow. They know nothing of petitions. They always work, and they're always topical and legit.
Right, and you know those DC fans know what they want, right?
I still think it's a Rick Roll, but whatever.
Jeez.
Warner Brothers CEO admits DC films have room for improvement.
Shocked to no one.
And I think last, new Zord teaser posters for Saban's Power Rangers are here.
Yay.
They look like a bunch of memes. It's like it's the the Power Rangers like chilling all the last on the Zords.
Right.
But they posted up.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
So, and there's a couple other
things. Yeah, Ghost in the Shell gets 5 teasers that I haven't seen yet.
I still haven't looked at them, and I got another put this in here.
And Pacific Rim 2 gets the Great Wall actress Ying Tian.
Yeah, so she's been in major Chinese hits like New Police Story opposite Jackie Chan and in Special ID opposite Donnie Yen. No offense. I'm sure it's big over there.
I think I heard Special ID wasn't bad. I don't know.
Well, we'll find it. I think maybe one of those two might actually be on Netflix, to be perfectly honest.
I think so, yeah.
So, all right.
So the December 2016 solicits were released. Go check those out on your favorite comic book news site.
Right, and make sure to get in touch with your local comic book shop if you need to process your solicits, your orders for December soon because the previews will be out. Comixology won't come, you know, the pull list won't start for a little while, but make sure you follow up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to get to the comic book news.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Jeremy Lin is going to team up with the Totally Awesome Hulk.
That's what I wanted to get in.
So that's going to be in the December. That's going to be in the December's issue of Totally Awesome Hulk.
Right.
Yep. And I said in the notes that it's going to be a Champions tie-in. It doesn't specifically say that, but reading what it says about that story, it seemed like it's going to be, in a way.
And I love that the second that Lin comes back to the New York City area, this time playing with the Brooklyn Nets, now he's appearing in a Marvel comic book. So,
they're the only one left of the big two still have offices in New York.
Sure, exactly.
Now let me put the focus on Roddy here.
Yes, so here's a picture of the cover for that.
that's pretty cool.
The Dwayne McDuffie Award for Diversity in Comics announces 2017 judges. They have a new director, Will J. Watkins, and several new selection committee members, Mark D. Bright, Don McGregor, Kevin Rubio, Cassandra Pelham, and Gail Simone. Returning judges include Joe Illidge, Joan Hilty, Neo Edmund, Matt Wayne, Lynn Nguyen, and Heidi McDonald. And the winner will be announced at a reception on February 18th, 2017 in Long Beach, California during the Long Beach Comic Expo.
Yeah.
Oh, and remind me at the end of the show, Agent 70, I think I have something to forward you.
Okay. Sounds good.
Marvel Comics share new hip-hop-inspired covers.
Oi! As much as I love these covers, there's just going to be more of them. More covers to track down. More things to try, you know.
I gave up on that a long time ago.
Which I guess I was gonna mention this a minute ago before you started doing the news, but I will say this now. Supposedly, the hardcover of the first volume of the hip hop hardcovers book is supposedly out today. I don't know.
That is Wednesday.
I haven't seen it, and the only places I've seen, like my store, said they're getting another week, and Amazon saying that they're not getting until the 4th, and
which means Midtown has it. And if I head up to Midtown tomorrow, they'll probably have it because
I tweeted out a link to T4, which looks like it's the cheapest price that I've seen so far.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, that information is out there.
Right. I mean, we knew that they wouldn't, you know, like the hip hop covers were successful enough that, you know, and there were still plenty of album covers out there that they wanted to get to. And even for artists that had already been featured, but had more than one really, truly iconic cover.
I think with the exception of a couple of them, they're kind of reaching with some of these newer ones.
Yeah, because they're giving some of these new kids, you know, some of these new kids some shine, you know, like they're really trying to expose some of these rappers that none of us are really all that into, to be honest.
Right. But that being said, there's a couple of them in this list, like this Ultimates one. Like I kind of dig that one.
Oh, wait, what is this? What page is this?
That's the Ultimates 2.
Oh, is this the link?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pull this up and see.
And then this is one for Cage, which is a book that I'm not crazy about, but hey, it's coming anyway. But that cover is pretty deep, pretty nice.
gotcha.
But yeah.
All right. Entertainment Earth Spotlights Voltron 30th Anniversary Diecast Light Up Action Figure Set.
That's a mouthful.
Mm.
It is. Star Wars comics will tell an untold story from Yoda's past.
Isn't it about time? When I read this story this week, I thought it was about time.
So basically it'll be the same deal as the untold tales of Obi-Wan Kenobi from his journal. It'll be Luke reading, I guess, some stories regarding Yoda. And then we get to watch it play out in the colorful pages.
Read this, you will.
Yeah.
Oh, and not sure, it may be in the notes, I haven't scrolled down far enough, but there will be another Star Wars comic coming from Kieran Gillen in the Defense Listed.
Yep.
That was news.
That was actually, well, yeah, this is the next one.
I can't scroll because my screen is being stupid.
Gotcha. I felt like, because apparently the only thing we know about this one is that one is being written by Kieran Gillen, who wrote Darth Vader, which was a great book, and it's called Star Wars Classified, which I feel like there was a book of that name already, but I could not find it.
I think that's just the placeholder name they're using.
Right, okay.
Because they don't want to spoil it yet. Jennifer Walters won't be She-Hulk anymore. She will have a new ongoing series titled Hulk after Civil War II. Yep, and maybe turning...
I was about to say Return to Grey Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be written by award-winning author Mariko Tamaki, who is also doing the Supergirl Being Super miniseries over at DC later this year. And art by Spider-Man's Nico Leon, who I've enjoyed his work.
I'm actually looking forward to this. When I read what the concept was and the premise was, I like this. You know, because
I know the art would be good.
I was about to say, because we read Soul's take on She-Hulk, and it was very much, you know, it was well-written, but very lighthearted.
Yeah. And most takes of She-Hulk have been historically lighthearted.
Right.
You know, because she's been breaking the fourth wall and this and that and the other, but this one seems to be a distinctly... probably more serious take, seems right. like.
Well, kind of stepping, I mean the
more Jessica Jones type of take?
Well, I was about to say it's probably more of a Bruce Banner take, because, you know, she really is stepping into the shoes of the Hulk, where, you know, her experience, her trauma is actually shaping the character that she is, where that was always a big thing with Bruce Banner, especially during the Peter David run, where, you know, he's kind of shaped by his, you know, his dealings with his parents and how he grew up from that.
Hmm. But yeah, but her trauma has to deal with more of Bruce's death, and I'm thinking that's why I'm thinking it's kind of more of the Jessica Jones, because that's kind of what her series was kind of about dealing with, whatever. Although it won't take the same bend of having a, you know, psycho stalker. I don't think, we don't know what's going to happen, but
right.
Katie Bishop takes the lead in her first solo Hawkeye comic series, coming out of Marvel now. DC and IDW team up for Love is Love anthology to honor the victims of the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting.
Okay.
Love is Love, kid.
So there's going to be a ton of artists and creators participating in this. I'm sitting here looking at the list now, and it's extensive. And that's, I don't even think that's everyone. IDW restructures their editorial team. DC reveals Writers Workshop Class of 2016. Congrats to all the winners.
Yeah, but they left out Tim Dog 98, so they can't all be winners.
That's right. Actually, I have to actually have a book published to be in the running. Yeah. So it seems like that would help.
So this was a, note to no surprise to not too many people, this kind of came up as an issue in a way on social media, because there were, not necessarily salt, but there were some feelings about, I guess, this list. And maybe some people that didn't get picked and whatnot, but you know, that goes with whatever.
I understand the griping, but also publishers look at how people treat, you know, conduct themselves on social media. So it's like, if you're sitting there griping about who's selected and whatnot, and you're actually trying to apply to this stuff, it's not a good look.
Pretty much.
But or if you're not one, if you're not one of the people that was applying for the workshop, then I guess have at it. Tim Seeley reveals why he quit Marvel's Blade series, and it's mostly because he recognized that he was doing a story about a woman character, and it might behoove to have a woman be on the creative team.
I applaud him for basically that. That's the case.
Yeah, basically what it boiled down to.
Good for him. Yeah.
You can tour the Marvel Universe an exclusive trailer for the complete Marvel Cosmos. That sounds kind of cool. An Australian library releases free remixable web comics maker.
Yeah, seemed like a cool project.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right. So we'll get an ad read in before we wrap the show. This episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attention. Busted Tees puts many of their popular shirt designs on sale at a discount each week. Choose from several eye-catching t-shirts inspired by pop culture, such as Rick and Morty, Rick and Morty as Legos, and Simojis, the many faces of Samuel L. Jackson as emojis, and much more are all on sale. To help keep our podcast free, order from Busted Tees by going to cspn.us, that's cspn.us, then clicking on the Keep Our Podcasts Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner, and then shop for awesome t-shirts. Busted Tees through cspn.us. Do it today.
Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at CBCron. Agent 70 is at Agent_70 on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. Image up there.
There it goes.
There it is. Anytime us arm twins got to stick together. Who is that? Misty Knight and
Nico.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Well, I told her I didn't realize she had an arm.
She lost it in Dennis Hopeless. What was it, Avengers
Academy?
What was it?
No.
When was it, Runaways, I thought?
No, it didn't happen in Runaways. It was in that Dennis Hopeless Avengers. So like the Hunger Games thing?
Yeah, I remember that now.
Oh, okay.
Not Avengers Undercover, but whatever came before that.
Right.
I forget whatever they titled it.
Yeah. So memorable.
But, yeah. Actually, it was. It was pretty good.
Yeah, we can't remember the title.
And it's too many titles to remember.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. The episode will be right before Luke Cage drops.
Oh, sookie.
So in 2 weeks, come back to hear our thoughts on Luke Cage.
Yep. And then we'll be leading into New York Comic Con.
Yes, that's starting up.
You know, we'll see if I'm there. Exactly. We'll see if I'm there Thursday night instead of podcasting here.
Yep. Agent 70 will be on hand along with our friendo Matt Wang.
That's right.
97. So stay tuned for more news as that develops. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace.